trombonist Steve Turi, one of my favorites, who has a reputation actually of fully integrating seashells into his music and made it a whole new genre altogether. This is titled Rainbow People. It's from his 2008 album of the same name. Kenny Garrett on alto and soprano sax, Sean Jones on trumpet and flugelhorn, Mulgrew Miller on piano, Peter Washington on bass, and Ignacio Berroa on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off yesterday. And where we left off was with this very interesting announcement by Mrs. Obama that Barack Obama, the former president, will not be making any endorsements for the first round. That's the round coming up. However, he will endorse whoever wins that first round. And I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was interesting that Mrs. Obama made that statement. And I thought it very interesting that the president, after 8 years and benefiting from a process, has nothing to say and will have nothing to say, even when one of the candidates was his vice president for 8 years. He would have nothing to say for the first round. But in the second round, which is the general election, he will endorse whomever emerges as the winner of the first round. Very interesting, but let's get to it at 888-874-4888. And we have lots of other things that I want to tackle. So if you could make it nice and short and sweet, we could move along a lot faster. But don't decide that I'm hustling you. I'm not rushing you, but I do want you to be conscious of time. 888-874-4888. What is the significance of that statement? What is it supposed to mean? What are we supposed to interpret from it? And I think there's a lot there that should be talked about. That at this particular time, a statement would be issued by Mrs. Obama. And this is what she had to say, that the president, the former president, will be making no endorsements at all in the first round. And for the second round, basically, he's going with whatever emerges as the result of the first round. That sounds a little unusual, I should say. Clara from Philadelphia, you start us off today. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Yatrice? And hello to
Fine, thank
everyone
you.
in the audience. I wanted to say that I hadn't thought, I don't think much about them, but my first thought was that maybe it's a cry for attention. I thought that's a little bit too shallow to think about anyway. But then I thought, well, she's been mentioned from time to time as a possible candidate. And I was wondering if she sees herself as a potential vice presidential candidate. And it would be very convenient time to come out for that. It was just a thought that that might be part of it. Otherwise, I don't
Okay.
know.
But you know, the Obamas have never had it so good.
That's right.
They're making lots and lots and lots of money. Their future seems assured. And you would wonder why, after reaching this point in their lives, they want to take on, the hornet's nest of making decisions and endorsements that won't no matter what they say, people are going to be dissatisfied. So the best thing to do is to continue doing what they've been doing, which is to lay low and shut up.
Well, yes, I would think that would be the smart thing to do. But it seems like they're about to do something, might be about to do something different. And for people at that level, they're emulating so many of those other people that they hang out with. Money isn't the end goal. It's not enough. It's power and attention. And that's why I thought it might be leading to something political for her.
That's the other part. Why would she be the one making the announcement since she was never in politics? I mean, as an elected official.
Oh, well, I can only surmise that he doesn't really want to be bothered, but okay,
well,
I don't know.
He leaves it to her to make a decision?
Yeah,
make
he's
a
having a
statement.
Great time. Why would he want to get back into that? Also, he can't afford to get his name too much involved in any of this. He's got too much to hide, you know, and he and the Clintons. And that might, you know, I would think that he would not want to be involved. And she's such a narcissist that, you know, hanging out with Oprah and all that. I'm sorry. I think it's so funny. But anyway, that's all I have to add today, Yatrice.
Okay. Well, it was a good addition. Thanks for contributing. 888-874-4888. Why has Mrs. Obama, in behalf of Barack Obama, made the statement that they will not be endorsing anybody in the Democratic primary, including Joe Biden, who was Obama's vice president for 8 years, and others that the Obamas were close to? They're not making an endorsement at all. And further, in the general election, they will decide to endorse whoever comes out of the first process as the winner. Does that seem normal to you? Ed from Queens, does that seem normal to you?
Hey, how you doing, Yatrice?
Okay.
Am I sounding good now? I was told that I've been cut out. I think the CIA
yeah.
is on to me. I don't know. like I said yesterday, number one, I believe this is a cop-out. I mean, this election is far too serious to be playing games as the personality cult that they're playing. I mean, well, first of all, personally, the Democratic Party, like I said yesterday, as far as African Americans are concerned, my personal belief is we don't need to be involved with it anymore. It's been a sham from the beginning to the end, and it's never really fulfilled or spoke to any of our concerns as far as I'm concerned. And we need to disassociate ourselves from it. And start to begin, like you talk about community, start to begin a real viable second party, a real viable party that's going to represent the people, number one. Number two, as you said before, the Obamas are doing well. They don't really, as far as from a practical aspect, I don't see them wanting to put their foot into this political mess other than an appeal by the Democratic Party or the DNC, because they need to have some focus in their fight of Donald Trump. But I don't think it's the right way to go with the Obamas. As far as Michelle Obama, as opposed to Barack making a statement, I believe she has political aspirations, and this could play a part in it. I don't know if it's in this election or maybe they're planning for the future as far as what come what may. But I believe that giving her the statement power, as it were, that's giving her some type of political cachet that they may be able to cash in the future, because there's always plans within plans when you're dealing with political animals of this nature. But it's a cop-out. I mean, they don't have a viable candidate. Bernie has been neutered to a certain extent because he has no political identity as of now. Biden, he's a nice guy, but He's a little. He's pretty much a simpleton. And he, as far as dealing with Trump, I don't think he'd be any real competition. And the 20 other personalities, from Kamala Harris to Cory Booker, it's a personality cult. Nobody's really speaking to any of the issues that are pertinent: climate change, reparations, the wealth gap. These are things that we need to address seriously and attack. And there's nobody that's really stepping to the forefront, even though it's early in the campaign. There's nobody that's really coming correct. Kelsey Gabbard is good, but I don't think she has a chance as far as making any real headway in the race. But other than that, it's just this is just another publicity stunt to bring some type of light to this poor Democratic field. That's my take on it.
So you say it's a cop out, and you say it's possible that Michelle has future political ambitions, but it is still not in. From what I'm getting from you, it is still puzzling as to why the president at this time, through his wife, will make such an announcement. It seems very unusual.
Well, it is. I mean, he's the one that you would expect to be stepping to be at the forefront of helping the nominee of the Democratic Party, whoever that may be, and a major player in the decision-making process. But he's certainly taking a hands-off approach and putting the ball in the lap of his wife. That I don't really understand. I don't know what the other than her future political aspirations, I don't see what the point of that would be. But we live in a time where there are several politically unqualified people stepping into highly crucial and highly technical political roles. So it's like a circus. You know what I mean? You got Donald Trump, his daughter, his son, this one, that one. People with no background, no etiquette, and I don't respect, I'm a professional. I don't respect anybody that steps out of their lane without any type of training. You understand what I'm saying? If you know something, you know something. You go, you learn a trade, you learn a skill, you learn a discipline. You put a certain amount of time, a certain amount of effort, a certain amount of blood, sweat, and tears into it. And for someone else to step outside of their lane to get into your lane, I got no respect for you. What are you talking about? You know, you're like a guitar player.
Well, it's like an influenza. You know, it just roams around. The germs roll around until they land on somebody, and then you know you got it. You got the same disease. That's what's going on. Thanks, Ed, for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. So have you noticed that within the Democratic Party, there's a kind of a hush after all this euphoria about Ms. Harris, Kamala Harris, and the big takedown that she supposedly succeeded with Joe Biden? And the reports were right after that, you know, her coffers were just laden with riches, people throwing money at her campaign. But you don't hear very much. You don't hear very much about Kamala Harris anymore. So was that a one-note wonder, the one-trick pony that we had where she decided to drag Biden back into the years and years and years ago, because what she was calculating that would resonate with the people is this implied, it was smoothly done. She started off by saying, "I don't think you're a racist." That's an old trick, and that's been tried before. It's tired. It's like saying, you know, "I don't think you're a thief, but you make all the points that, in fact, you believe the person to be a thief." So, okay, so she had her moment. Is she done? What do you think? Is Kamala Harris done? Has she played her card? 888-874-4888, or is there more to come from Kamala Harris? Having been elevated through this tactic that she pulled, and I'm proud to say that we did not support her in taking this tact. It was very, very amateurish, really nasty. It was a nasty thing to do. And it now left her wide open for criticism as a prosecutor. Now she's perfectly suited. She is well set up, and by her own action, to have her career inspected as a black woman prosecuting a majority of people in California, in her district, and sending them to jail. You see, you can't do these things without understanding that there's a price to pay for just plain stupidity. She did not think of her strategy very well. It worked for a minute. It got her lots and lots of attention. It got her lots of money. And as we talked about it here, that was not the smartest move that she could make, especially this early in an election. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. It's
Thank
funny you.
You
should ask about that, because I had a knockdown, drag-out fight over the weekend with a very good friend of mine about Kamala Harris and about this very issue. And what I said to her was, you know, there's such a thing. Now, I realize that when you're vying for the nomination, that, you know, everybody says all's fair in love and war, and that includes the democratic process for the nomination. I said, but you know, she opened the door, and I hope that she will expect that come the next debate or Q&A session, that she's going to be fair game. So she's going to have to answer the following questions. How come she made a decision not to prosecute or even investigate all of those deaths of black folks in police custody? Why did she think that if she wanted to address the issue of truancy, why did she think that the best strategy was to put the mothers of the children in jail? What was supposed to happen to those mothers after she incarcerated their mothers, many of whom were the sole parent in the house? So, you know, her record ain't you know, her record is not crystal, you know, what's the term? Pure. Clean. And so I hope that folks start looking at her record, since she thinks everybody's record is fair games. Okay, that's what you did now. That's what you did, not 20 years ago, but 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. Answer that, because that's what I would do. I'd ask her to answer to that.
I would do that. And
that would be my strategy.
Inadvertently, I hope she realizes, it didn't look good in the moment for Biden, but it is turning out that she is giving Biden a lift. She has given him a lift.
Let me tell you something.
Say, well, okay,
Biden's face, he was
guy.
Like a deer in the headlights. I think he was stunned, and I think he was hurt. Now, you know, I'm no Biden person, but on a human level, I think he was stunned and he was hurt. If it had come from anybody else, he could have accepted it, but she was different. And I think that's what he responded to on a human level.
But then you're seeing that within the party, people are now moving away from her and toward Biden because they're sympathetic to what happened.
Absolutely.
And they're giving him credit for not getting as nasty and as vicious as she did.
Absolutely.
So he's getting, she gave him a push.
Yeah, she's giving him the sympathy stuff.
Yes. I wanted to know what you think of the possibility that at some point soon, we will get a hard comment about it.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
You think so?
It's coming. It has to come because she has opened the door to play dirty. The gloves are off. That's how I would respond. It's coming.
I think so, too. Well, thank you very much. So we have a little change there. What was intended to be Biden's downfall, total downfall, is actually not working too badly against him. He's getting sympathy.
If you notice, she keeps going back to it because she got nothing else.
And what was the clincher was over the weekend. Where was Biden?
Down in South Carolina.
Down in South Carolina.
With Mayor Coopers.
Talking to black people.
That's right.
And making his case. I'm very sorry that it happened, but that was not my intention. People don't know me as that kind of guy. Otherwise, you will have to question Barack Obama. So Barack Obama immediately has been called. She can't compete with that.
He's making a calculated risk that...
I'm saying if the President of the United States says, well, I selected Joe Biden, whether it's true or not, but Biden was my vice president, if you think this of Biden, you think this of me. So how are they going to resolve that? Go ahead, Patricia.
Minus in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. He needed a balance ticket, and that was Joe. So, I mean, that was his role on the ticket.
But also, you know, you have a very interesting second layer here in that here's a young black man who selected an older white man to be his running mate. And throughout their relationship, they seem to have a closer bond than most people would expect.
Correct.
Well, thank you, Patricia. You see
have a good
how
day
politics
now.
Works? All you have to do is just observe. Kamala Harris basically is back to square one. She has fired her shot. She got immediate reaction, but not necessarily results. She got reaction, but not the results that she wanted. And so she will have to figure out some kind of a strategy or plan to redeem herself, because you know she is going to be pilloried about her past since she opened that door. Thanks, Patricia, for calling in. Well, see, politics changes right before our eyes, and all you have to do is observe and analyze. This is how your opinion is formed. It isn't about what they say they are. It's about who you see them as based on the facts. And then they'll have to deal with that. I want to talk about Ms. Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democratic Party. She seems to have changed her diet quite a bit. She's now eating her young. She has carefully selected the incoming, the newbies, if you will. She's carefully selected them, and she has publicly upbraided them for being leftist. And in that action, she is giving permission for any and everyone, from whether within the party or outside of it, to attack them. Is this something that a leader should do? Especially since she knows that they are left of center. They have never apologized for it. They've never made it a secret. They come into the party, and my reaction is that the general reaction ought to have been, well, thank the Lord, we have some new oxygenated blood. You have some problems, that's true, because on a couple of levels, they have kind of missed the mark about how they're supposed to behave. I've talked about that. But on the other side of that same equation, you have a stodgy party, all acting like children, waiting to find out what Nancy wants done next. They dare not move independently. They dare not introduce a new thought or a new action. They dare not introduce new legislation. They dare not defy her in any way. So what she decides that she would do is to eat them, gobble them up, destroy them. At this time, the party needs more cohesion than any time recently. It is fractured, it is fragmented, and it still is looking to 80-year-old Nancy Pelosi to tell them what to do. These people come out of communities where they know intimately what the people of their districts want. And they're trying their best to get the point across. But the leader of the party seems to have it in for them to reduce them to beggars, reduce them to people asking if permission to do their jobs. And maybe it's because they've gotten a lot done, or they are attempting to do a lot, and it is embarrassing the leadership of the party. Now, the party could hardly afford to lose any kind of cohesion, as fragmented as it is. But they're going gung-ho at it as if they don't recognize that the people recognize that they are suicidal. They're suicidal in operating this way. What are your thoughts about that? 888-874-4888. What is the deal with Nancy Pelosi? Why is she being so hostile and destructive? Why is she not understanding that as leader of the party, she's setting a tone from which they will never, ever, at least not in the near term, they'll never emerge. They'll be swimming in swill for several decades if they don't hurry up and do something about this party. The party is not where the people are. There is a distance between the party and the people. We don't know at this point, except that everybody points to Nancy Pelosi as the leader of the party. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the party had a leader. I thought the party was a party of leaders. And the leader, in any instance where they have to nominate or designate leadership that way, would be the representative of all the members of the party. You don't own the party. It is not your personal possession. You don't decide unilaterally what happens and what doesn't happen. And now we're heading toward a major crisis, a major break. I don't know if you see it that way. Within the party, driving people, doing the best to drive the energy away, to drive the good ideas away, to discourage people from attempting to make changes that are vital and overdue. So, what should happen now within this party? Is it, in your view, is it worth saving or just let it go? Or must Nancy Pelosi go? And, you know, that's the other thing. There is a distinct advantage to longevity. A leader of a party, for as long as she has been a leader of the party, there's a lot of currency there. Her power and her influence are greatly appreciated, but in any event, greatly respected. But she is not acting like a respectful leader. She is acting like a bully. And she's acting like a hostile bully, you know, out to destroy people. I've never seen anything like this, where she has targeted the new people coming in as being too far left, as being almost like political plants, you know, that they came into the party to destroy it. And she is there fighting tooth and nail to maintain the status quo. Is this an unjust reading of Nancy Pelosi at this point? Is this a correct analysis of where the party is at this point? And the people are very confused. People are very confused watching the Democratic Party act like a bunch of thugs. And the sweet, demure Nancy Pelosi is the godmother.
Not the godfather,
but the godmother. She is running an enterprise in which everybody must do exactly as she says, and she will tolerate no challenges. What will happen to the Democratic Party if this continues? What do you see? 888-874-4888. Come on, we got to move fast today so we could cover a lot of ground. Why is Nancy Pelosi behaving like this? Or more correctly, why is she being allowed to behave like this? She is not the grand leader who must be obeyed. She's the leader of the party. It's called the Democratic Party, for crying out loud. It means that everybody has a voice. Everybody has a position that must be respected. You don't declare war on your own, but she has. What should happen to a leader who declares war on his own or her own? Should that person continue to be in leadership position and basically damaging the reputations of the people that you are attacking, as if they're a bunch of commie pinkos, they're crazy, they have strange ideas, and they are determined to bring down the party by promulgating these ideas? Sasha from California, what is your thought?
Well, Groundhog Day, every election cycle, it's the same thing over and over again. Thanks for taking my call, Yatrice.
Thank you.
I've been listening to Pacifica Radio for over 30 years, since 1987, and it didn't take but 2 years for me to see enough to get enough information and see the writing on the wall when I heard the first announcement of green groups meeting. Before we had a party in California, we had green movement groups, and they were basically instigated by the Quakers, which was fabulous thing. And then after, within a couple of years, we all, you know, majority of us decided, well, we want to have a political arm and make an actual party. And so I've been involved with the green movement, the Green Party, since its inception in California. And, you know, I saw what damage the Democrats did to our party by spending about $1 million for a PR campaign to smear Ralph Nader and the Green Party for, you know, blaming us for giving the United States Bush president instead of Al Gore, which was a complete fraud anyway. And so it's like where we see, I've heard the comment saying, well, Trump is not the cause of our problems. He is a symptom. He's exists because of the corruption of our system. And in some way, I think it's the same is also true for someone like Nancy Pelosi, who's in a position of power for a long time. She's, you know, benefited from that advantage, and we're all paying the price. So I don't have an answer about it, except, maybe here's yet another call for people who are disenfranchised and totally fed up with this two-party fake, this corporate two-party fake political system, to say, look, you know, at the very least, we have to have a viable third party. We've tried. We got really chopped off at the knees by the Democrats in 2000. So here we are 20 years later. You know, we could have been a flourishing party. We should have had a number of federal offices occupied by Greens by now. But this winner take all system, I don't know. We need to change the whole system. We need proportional representation. We need a parliamentary type style of government, I think, to be fair. Whether or not we'll ever have such a thing in the United States, please, you tell me.
if you recall, I asked a question, which means I don't know the answer.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull a fast one on you.
I don't know the answer. But I do know that this is very harmful to any party, but especially to the Democratic Party, because let's take the case of Bernie Sanders, who very often affiliates himself with the party, which should be seen as a plus. If you're a smart and enlightened leader and you have a smart and enlightened membership, that's a plus. You're bringing hundreds of thousands of new people under the Democratic tent. But there's something wrong with the way they're thinking. They act like they're paranoid. And the old way is the same way they're doing business today. You know, the political leader, the grand political leader. And we should have seen within the Democratic Party some kind of progress in terms of their understanding about leadership and how it should be exercised today in order to build the party, and to get more and more people involved. But instead, this habit of eating their young, I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it at all.
May I make share a thought that I have had, which to me makes sense. That is, look at all this talent with 20 plus candidates who have decided they want to, you know, throw it in for the Democrats and, you know, to try to be the nominee. I mean, if somebody is really smart as the chosen, quote, leader of the party or of the House, you know, they would just say, look at all these fabulous, talented people with all these amazing ideas. You know, at the very least, we should say, look, here's a slate. So if we can decide on who's going to be the presidential nominee, well, look, we're going to have a huge slate for a cabinet that would come fall right in of all these other people who didn't get the nomination. Well, they could be appointees to various departments. You know, that would be smart. That would capitalize on the fact that we have this groundswell of energy. But I think
but they don't want smart. Smart is not good all of a sudden. They do not want smart people. They want the old traditional hacks where they know from the word go where their weak spot will be, which is money and power and influence. Not advancing concepts, not advancing ideas, not advancing the rules and the laws of this land so that more people are brought in, more people benefit. They're not working toward that. They're working toward party dominance. It's the same on the Republican side. They're working for party dominance. Well, at some point, you have to recognize that even if you're working for party dominance, if people are leaving your party, you no longer have dominance. If people don't want your party, you don't have dominance. A smart politician would look to the future and would kind of get an idea of how things are unfolding and where they're likely to go. What is likely to be the political future? And deal with that. You have younger people. The old ones are dying out. Unless in your head, the old ones were just the right ones and you couldn't care less about anybody else joining your party. And you'll be left with your party. You and your old wise ones will be all by yourself. Maybe that's what they want. But somebody needs to challenge Nancy Pelosi about her leadership because it is very unusual that a party would just give all this power to one individual who doesn't share what she's thinking. They don't have meetings in which they discuss these things. They're not concerned anymore about the public. It's about them. What we're thinking is the right thing. And we will see to it that it's the right thing. These younger people coming in, this new generation of leadership, we have no use for them. They have screwy ideas. And we can't afford to yield to that because we will become a communist party. that is the prevailing thinking in the ranks of Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party. Thanks, Sasha, for your call today.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right. It's important because, you see, this is how transformation occurs. It's not a huge democratic process. It occurs when a powerful group, just like the Republicans, there's no difference whatsoever. A very tightly knit, powerful group understands what can be had, and they organize in their own interests. The party is not a vehicle for change. The party is a vehicle for leveraging their power to excise from a system what it is the most powerful members of that party desire. Has nothing to do with the people. We think and we hope and pray that they get it, that politics, it's supposed to be about leveraging power for the popular good. That's not their thinking. Their thinking is, what's in it for me? And I believe that somebody should be looking to challenge openly challenging that within the Democratic Party, this question should be raised. Where exactly is the party going? Why is it that people have this view of the party? What does the party have as its priorities for the next 20 years? What will its leadership look like in the next 5 years? What has the party accomplished? What does it need to work harder at in order to succeed in its overall objectives? They're not talking like that. They're talking about who will get the preferred committee assignments to aggregate more power and authority and influence so that they can, their price will go up. You know, you want to get such and such done. That's my committee. Here's what we need you to do. A party is not functioning like a political party. It is not educating people. It is not in the communities. It is not contacting the people directly and educating them about the struggles in Congress. Instead, it's concentrating on eating up bright young minds that are coming into the party expecting that they could make a contribution. Okay, so what's next? We have to declare one thing, which we didn't when we first discussed it, but we have to have something declarative about it so that we're on record as having solved, quote unquote, this problem. Is Bernie Sanders on his own? Yes or no? 888-874-4888. Is Bernie Sanders on his own? We're not seeing very much in the way of reaching out to Bernie Sanders and supporting Bernie Sanders in very pivotal ways to help him win particular districts that the Democratic Party as a party cannot win. So we're seeing an estrangement, and they're making no effort to disguise it. Bernie Sanders seems to have been jettisoned. He seems to be on his own. Is that a correct reading, or is that a false reading? What say you? And what would be the consequence of this? You're not hearing Bernie Sanders slash the Democratic Party anymore. Even they are clear that this is the way it ought to be. You go your way and I go my way. But it doesn't seem to be any kind of a cooperative venture in taking on the Trump administration. What could the likely scenario B is Bernie Sanders being made to understand that he has got to fare for himself, the party has done enough, and he should, you know, go his own way. We thank you, but goodbye. Is that what's happening? Will it hurt the Democrats? Will it hurt Sanders? Do people even care? Is this how they're going to guarantee Trump a victory? 888-874-4888. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, Patrice, good afternoon. I want to weigh in and give you my perspective, my analysis of what you started off on with Nancy Pelosi. And the way I see it, people have to really understand who Nancy Pelosi works for. This is not a question of someone working in the interests of the people who live in these United States. Nancy Pelosi, as I see it, just like the people on the Republican side also in leadership, work for the ruling class which is the rail constituency of the Democrat and Republican Party and Israeli Unit Party with two divisions. So Nancy Pelosi, as I see it, she's getting the new people that she doesn't like in check, because her constituency, the ruling class that runs both divisions as this party, that's in their interests. So we have to understand that, whoever comes into this corrupt group is in something that's going to corrupt, and even though they have so-called, you know, leftist ideas and they got into this Democrat Party, the Democrat Party is a ruling class party that is there in the interest of advancing the interests of those who rule, period. It's not a place where you are advancing the interests of the people of the country. And we can see that with the distribution of wealth and all the other things that are in effect against the interests of the people. So that's the way I see Nancy Pelosi, and I think people ought to look at that and see that there's no future in either the Democrat or Republican Party for the masses of people. It's to serve the interests of the ruling class to accomplish their goals and distract the interests of the people by talking about cultural things like immigrants, abortions, and other things, and getting attention away from them as they enrich themselves and confuse and divide the people. That's the way I see it.
Well, what is unique so far? Let me say we've talked about her attacking the newbies, for lack of a better term. It's not the best term. I think we should can do that. But why, what is common with the people that she's attacking?
Well, I'm sure she's attacking those who supposedly have these leftist ideas to want to do things that are interests that are good for the masses of the people. And she wants, you know, put them in check, have them put some reality into them that the party is really in the service of those who rule. So we can have, you know, some display of so-called progressive things, but, you know, you got to stay on the right side or in the middle. You can't go out in full force to advocate policies that will be beneficial to the masses of people that live in the country. So she's like a ringmaster who's in the cage, and she's getting all the animals lined up in the way that they can maintain the fiction of democracy and accomplish the goals of those who rule. That's the way I see it.
Should she be allowed to openly attack them and to denigrate them and to basically give permission to others to do the same?
Well, that may get her some extra benefits from those who rule. I'm sure they will like that. And she feels that she can get some mileage out of that by doing that. And gets some rewards, more rewards, from those who are her real constituents, which are the people in the ruling class. So in terms of the United States, where we have this terrible situation with white supremacy, racism, that will get some mileage there, too, from some of the people at the base who would be very happy to see her attacking, especially as people of color.
That's the point. That's the point. All the people she's attacking so openly and so vehemently happen to be people of color.
Yes, and mileage out of that. You know, that's good for her in some respects, because that might get her some, you know, benefits from those people at the bottom who are the base, and satisfy also those at the top who are her real constituents.
Okay, we have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much, David, for calling in and contributing. We'll keep talking about these and other issues that are current, because they are coming at us at 100 miles an hour and we dare not ignore them. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll join each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.